Thank you, Penny. Well, it's been a strange week, hasn't it? A week where we have become increasingly aware of another world, a world of microbes, that for most of the time, unless we work in healthcare, we are largely forgetful of.
And we forget that this world of microbes is powerful. And we now live in the reality of this. And it's taken us by surprise, hasn't it? And it's caused a bit of chaos in our day-to-day existence. And yet at the same time, I was thinking that this current increasing awareness can remind us as well of another invisible and yet far more powerful world, the spiritual world. Because the Bible tells us that there's a whole unseen world all around us. And in fact, in verse 18 of our reading today, the Bible says, we don't look for the troubles we can see now, but we fix our gaze on the things that can't be seen. This is such a strange statement, isn't it? How do we do that? After all, we're quite preoccupied with our new awareness of a very different invisible world and how to be safe in it at the moment, aren't we? Well, the Bible reminds us of the glorious light of the good news of Jesus. And it describes it as a treasure that we hold. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember as a child having a treasure box into which I put the things I called my treasures. This is my oldest treasure.
Rosie shows us a tiny teddy bear, no more than 2 inches high.
Can you notice the knitted waistcoat? He must be over 60 years old. Interestingly, he now sits on my bookcase. The treasure box has long gone. And to be honest, although I do vaguely remember decorating it, I have no idea what it looked like. But the treasure remains. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 that we are containers for this treasure, this light shining in our hearts. But we're not secure safes and we're not beautiful pots. According to the Bible, we are fragile clay jars. We're plain and simple. We're ordinary and flawed. These ones came all the way from Nepal when we visited in January. So take courage. You don't have to be strong or invincible. You don't have to be independent or even positive. Paul simply reminds us that right now we may feel pressed on every side by trouble, but the promise is we will not be crushed. We may be perplexed, but we will not be driven to despair. We may be hunted down even by a virus, but we are never abandoned by God. We may be knocked down, but we are never destroyed. And we see that, don't we? Perhaps some days you've been able to rejoice in the small things like the weather and the daffodils and the hawthorn. And other days you may feel just overwhelmed with grief for an ill friend, exhaustion with trying to support a family and entertain children. You may feel exercised on how we speak to our children about what's happening. We may be worried, like Lindsay is today, about elderly parents. You may feel anxious for what the future holds. But know that through all these days, God is at work, using broken things to bring him glory. That's what verse 18 reminds us. Our present troubles produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. And as a church family, this is a moment to consider among us the richness and the truth of the gospel of Christ, and the fragility of the church as a vessel. And we have such a mega reminder today, don't we, that the church is not the building. So we need to give ourselves over to the truth of the treasure that's within us and let God manage the rest. So keep connected, care for each other, be quick to talk about what's really tough for you, because it's okay to be frail and ordinary. Isaiah reminds us as well that this clay that we are is in the hands of God. But remember too that we hold an amazing treasure, a message of salvation and good news that God has all things in his hands and that Easter Day will come. So as we just think about that reading for a few moments, Elaine's going to sing to us a cry to our hearts from God. Be still and know that I am God.
Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers and you hear the cry of our hearts, and where we cannot find words, that your Spirit intercedes for us. And so we come with confidence as your people to pray again.
Thank you, Elaine. We all know that everyday pots, even after they're decorated, glazed and fired, are fragile and can easily be broken. The Apostle Paul has in mind ordinary pots, a bit like the ones he showed us, but a lot bigger. And he likens us to such clay pots. Like pots carrying precious commodities, no one is particularly interested in the pot but what's inside. Paul likens us to pots, carrying in us the precious light of Christ. The stresses of these days may cause our pots to crack, but the wonderful thing is this, that when they do, the light of Christ shines out. Not our feeble light, but the powerful light of Christ. Light that dispels darkness. It's a Christ work in us, released through us, even in our weakness. Paul writes, "Then the grace of God reaches more and more people, so that thanksgiving overflows to the glory of God." God's work is his. Ours is to be carriers of the light, whether our pot is cracked or not, to bear faithful witness to the hope within us. Paul would encourage us not to lose heart, recognising that whatever happens to us now is far outweighed by the eternal glory which is ours through faith in Jesus, and his victory through his cross and resurrection. In the present storm, we fix our eyes not on what we see around us, but on what is unseen. Not on what is temporal, but on the eternal.
Good to see the Latimer family have joined us. Let's go over to them now and see what sort of a week they've been having.
I don't have to get up at 7:30 in the morning to be able to have fun to go to school.
So really, that's great. I don't know whether you can... And anything else good about this week? There must have been more than one good thing about from having long sleeps.
So we've had time to do things after school, which we never really had. We haven't had homework for the first, which is good.
Well, you've been working at home, haven't you? So that's homework.
Classes have been easier, I suppose. And we've just been able to do things as a family more.
Yeah. So, Tom, have you been doing online teaching or has Mum been the teacher?
Online teaching.
Oh, brilliant. Really good. So how did you get on with chemistry experiments at home?
We don't do anything practical.
Nothing practical?
No practicals. We do things which are practical, but we don't do any practicals.
Right. Well, you need to watch out, because I've seen some guidelines for mothers to do chemistry and things like that around the house. So, you know, just look out for it and don't get complacent thinking you're not doing any practical work, because there's some chemistry and some economics and all sorts of things. Mums are getting these guidelines on the internet, you know. Cleaning is one of them, you know, it's about chemistry, I think, and gardening, that's also about eco-cultures and things like that. Cleaning out the chickens, you know, it's about recycling poo. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? So, Mandy, what have your challenges been then as a mum this week?
I'll come a bit closer, yeah. Because our microphone doesn't seem to work terribly well. Our challenges have been, I think, getting our family life into a sort of routine that's very different. The boys have a routine of work to do for school. Lulu's got work to do for school. Mark has been, in theory, on annual leave this week, but he's had quite a few conference calls. He's had to go into the hospital. He's done a day of operating. We've been trying to set up sort of strategies for coping with Mark going to work and coming back into the house, and ways to try and reduce risks to us as a family, reduce risks to his patients when he goes out. So it's been a week of just trying to sort of work out how family life works for us in this new way of living as it is at the moment. Mm-hmm.
Have you got a couple of top tips, Mandy, for when you were working out safety for families? What would be your two top tips?
So things that we're doing now, which may seem excessive, are only one of us goes to the shops, which I think everyone's doing. When we bring groceries back, we leave them, anything that's not perishable, we leave for 3 days in a warm place. We don't touch it. We wear gloves to the shops. We put them in the washing machine. We put Mark's Crocs, if he's worn Crocs, in the washing machine. We're washing everything really regularly. So anything coming into the house, we're trying to not touch. Don't touch post. If you can help it, good reason to not open bills. those sorts of practical things. But it's also Mark coming back from the hospital. We send him straight off to change and shower, and we leave clean clothes out for him and that sort of thing. So, yeah, those are kind of practical things we're doing.
Thank you. Yeah. Now, Lulu,
yes?
What's it like being cooped up like your chickens?
Not fun. But we do something in the morning before school called PE with Joe, and we did some ninja kicks.
Ninja Kicks.
Ah, is that Joe Wicks you've been watching? Excellent. Brilliant.
Brilliant. Thank you, Lulu. Now Mark, you're very close to the front line in Addenbrookes. Tell us how your week has been and how we might pray.
We're largely in preparation mode at the moment. We've quadrupled our ventilated beds. We're hearing a lot of feedback from colleagues in London who already reached saturation. Northwick Park has reached saturation. They're having to turn patients away. My very good friend, Naveen Kabali, who's at King's College, says they're going to reach saturation by Monday. And then Addenbrookes will become a sort of a reserve zone for patients requiring ventilation to be sent out to. At the moment, we're in the calm before the storm in Cambridge. We didn't have the massive explosive infection rate that we had originally modelled based on the number of people who had been travelling to and fro to the Far East, to Singapore, to Korea, to Hong Kong, to China. But the tidal wave is coming and prepared, but we know we're not, this country is going to be overwhelmed. London has already hit a status where it's having to exercise a degree of what's called battlefield triage, having to prioritize resources. Sometimes that means choosing not to treat people for whom the resource cost would deprive resource from others.
Thank you. We know from what you've said and from what we are reading in the newspapers just what a stressful time it is for all those working on the front line.
It made me shave my beard, Peter.
Yes. Oh yes, I wonder why you were looking so young.
So I've been forced to shave my beard in order to enable a tight seal of, unfortunately, what are currently notional FP3 masks. I've yet to see an FP3 mask, but my face is ready for one when it arrives.
Excellent. Well, I hope you get one when you need one.
Hope so.
And all the rest of the equipment. Well, thank you very much. I hope you and other families will share with one another the things that are going well.
So what I do see in friends and colleagues at work is that people actually are starting to consider their vulnerability, which is not a bad thing. People actually ask, you know, do you have a faith at a time like this? And you know, in our vulnerability, in our fragility, people actually cast their eyes to heaven and look for God. And I praise God for that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much. We're going to come to an end now. I'm going to give God's blessing now. And we thought we might finish with a hymn, but we tried the sound quality and it doesn't work. So why don't you YouTube your favourite hymn and sing along to a great hymn this morning to finish with. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Stay at home, love and serve the Lord. Reach out to encourage others so that the light of Christ in you shines. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.